Time, you're listening to the news. I'm TC Downey, and with me on the line is Lehi. Lehi, how are you this Friday evening?
I'm doing quite well. How about yourself?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm just kind of checking the backyard, make sure there's no meth lab going up, and everything looks good, so I'm cool.
Yep. This white
just,
trash guy
no
ain't in trouble.
Just make sure you're not watching Cops on TV or anything while you're drinking that thing, all right?
Yeah, that's a good idea. Shit, I'm so white trash, I don't even have a TV.
Right on. So, yeah, it's been a weird couple of weeks. Missed last Saturday's show. We did, an hour and 30 minutes of The Matrix last week, and then that got derailed.
That was a pretty good episode, I have to admit.
Right on. Well, which part did you like more, the derailing or the actual topic?
I don't know. I did like the topic, but I completely forgot about it when it got derailed. It's not often that you got a derailment like that, where you got one person pretending to orgasm, and you got, was it Matt who was doing the butthead impression?
Yeah. Yes, that was Matt.
That was pretty good. Does he do that kind of thing a lot?
Matt is actually a very talented impressionist, which is why we had him participating on the prank call edition. Matt does a very good job doing voices. I mean, he's even he's been able to do an excellent job mimicking certain, what do you want to call them, semi-famous supposed LHPers or whatever. He does impressions of people who are semi-famous. So.
Like Venger. He did a good Venger impression.
Yeah, he does an excellent Venger impression. He mocks the shit out of him. That just, to me, cracks me the fuck up. I mean, he's got everything down to the, like, overt level of lethargia that just, you know, echoes and Venger's voice. I'm not going to actually, I won't say his real name, you know, just to kind of protect Dirk Bischoff from anybody mocking him later, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so well, shit, man, you know, I got here after a long break from news, and of course I just didn't really have a whole lot in mind to start going with, and I thought that maybe we'd, you know, tag some fourth way or whatever, but then throughout my conversation with, I thought we might hit some fourth way or whatever.
Oh, okay.
But instead of actually doing that, I ended up having a small conversation with Daryl in the chat room, and got to thinking about it, and got to thinking that it might be a good idea to talk a bit about language tonight. That in itself is kind of a fourth way thing, but I thought that language might be a real good solid place to to touch on. It's something that's not often talked about in the left-hand path community, but it's something that I think is extremely applicable if you're trying to develop some esoteric understanding. It's important to really get where language is happening, what's coming through when language happens. I mean, you'll often hear me talk about the word spirit, the word possession, and those things. Most people kind of attach this hocus-pocus sort of, overtly mystical thing to them, and I believe that they're wholly not that. Though they might be supernatural, I think that the idea of supernatural is somewhat misconstrued. It's the lens is kind of like one of those funny house mirrors, you know. It's not, you're not really looking at it the way that it's supposed to be looked at.
I think it partly has to do with the fact that most languages, I guess you could say, evolve. They change through time. And whereas the etymology of whatever the terms we're using was meant to be one thing and serve a certain purpose, as with the esoteric, you see over time that it gets convoluted into something else. So what might have been spirit before doesn't mean that today, at least for most people, because most people are, you know, lazy as fuck, and they rely on secondhand knowledge. They don't actually look anything up. They just go by what they were taught by other people who are ignorant.
Something occurred to me some time ago when I was discussing the idea of considering, and I mean, at least through a fourth way perspective. And then we were discussing considering, and then I ran across this passage where Gurdjieff is asked what it is that he means by the word considering. And what he says is considering really only means one thing. But most people would be like, no, that's not true. It can mean all these different things, but that's not necessarily the case. Considering in itself, it means simply one thing. But what happens is that you are, as you said again, over time, it is taken into a contrast or context in order to, shape something else when you're examining it or looking at it. And then through its application upon whatever perspective it is, it's slightly warped. And I think that that is the way that language is used. And what I'm going to do here is I'm going to actually go ahead and talk a little bit about the word that Derek, oh my God. So it's same thing, I guess, shaved head, kooky guy. No, I have a lot of respect for Daryl and not so much for the other, so... I want to actually kind of touch on respect and why I think that most people really don't understand what that word means. They seem to think of respect as some kind of prestige or esteem or some certain level of notoriety that they're carrying with themselves. And respect is, though it's, kind of relevant to those different aspects, it's not particularly the same thing. And let's talk about other things that you might come to respect. Here's a solid example for you. If you, if you put your hand on something hot, you get burnt, and you begin to respect things that are hot because you don't want to get burnt. Respect.
That's similar to the word consider.
What's that?
I think it's funny that in used this way, it kind of sounds like the word consider. When I respect that the stove is hot, I'm considering that it could burn me.
Right. Well, they should definitely work in together, hand in hand. But the respect part of it comes in understanding what the thing is. Can do, what it is capable of. When you respect something, and this is something that I firmly believe, when you have a healthy sense of respect for something, you are aware of all of its potentiality. And so you treat it a certain way to get a certain level of whatever it is that you're trying to do with it. You're trying to utilize the respect that you've developed for it to manipulate it, again, to focus upon a third thing or a directive. Respect itself is not a thing. It is not it's not an apple. It's not a table. Respect is nothing tangible. It's nothing that you can hold. And so in that aspect, it's not a thing, but rather an action. And it's an action that comes from understanding the potentiality of something. Now, something, and if I was typing, I would be like making thing, you know, in italics and bold, you know, to kind of weigh into the fact that the thing itself is not the respecting thing. And fuck if my phone isn't echoing.
Hold on. I see what you're saying. It's kind of like, you know, there's the old saying that you hear all the time that respect must be earned and blah, blah, blah. Well, like, when people say that, they give it this air of prestige, like you were saying earlier, that when you've earned somebody, you know, you've earned respect, that you somehow, like, you know, accomplished something. But really, what you're saying is that when respect is, quote-unquote, earned, it's more you've interacted with and learned enough about the subject, whether it's a person or not, to be able to make a kind of a judgment call about its potentiality.
Yes, and that is what respect is. And to illustrate that, what I actually did was I pulled up one of my favorite websites, dictionary.com, and I started going through and just looking at the different definitions, you know, because there's, I mean, about 20, well, actually 16 different definitions that are associated with the word. And each of these definitions in themselves actually point specifically to what I'm getting to about the words. Now, so I'm just going to hit on a couple of them. Everybody can feel free to double-check me right now. You can go right to dictionary.com, type in the word respect, and follow right along. But what you're going to find is that each one supports what I'm saying, that it is in the understanding of its potential. So the first top one is a particular detail or point, usually preceded by in, to differ in some respect. Now, you see in some particular aspect. Or in, so this is supporting my thing. To differ in some respect. If you use that word properly in that sentence, you understand that we are talking about the potentiality or of this particular thing, an aspect of.
So when somebody says they have no respect for somebody else, is that to say that they consider the person they don't respect to have they are of no consequence to them is what it means. That person is of no consequence is what I'm trying to say. There's no potential for anything to that person who has no respect for the other.
If somebody has no respect for someone, then that what they are saying is that they see no reason to even understand what it is that they're dealing with. There's nothing about it that they want to become aware and understand its potentials.
At least at that point in time.
What's that?
At least at that point in time. But sometimes people gain respect once they get to know somebody else.
Yeah, so that's the whole thing. And then this is where respect is earned comes from. That particular phraseology comes from the idea there that, you know, the person would demonstrate enough, would show you enough of their potential that you would hold respect for them. That is, I don't think that I could clarify my idea any more than this. But language is just a really funny game, and it's really weird when I look at the way that we talk about things, just in a common man, layman respect, even when attempting to somehow be philosophically in-depth, we often don't pay enough attention to the way that we use the words that we use. And we want to attach our own little idioms to them or our own little ideas or definitions. We want to carve away the parts of the word that don't fit with whatever it is that we're trying to manipulate it, move it towards. And we actually, in the essence of that, change the word. We're no longer actually talking about the word that we're using. We're talking about something else that there probably is another word for, but we're doing it by superimposing this definition over a more natural understanding. I mean, I think it's important to illustrate that language is our first symbol. It is our first symbol of communication. Language was developed far before writing. You know, the click languages of Africa prove that. Those people couldn't, do any kind of written language at all, but they have a full dialogue that happens just through clicks and sounds.
Well, even beyond that, we have body language. Each movement by different muscle groups represents a type of, a symbol.
Right.
Which so, have certain meanings and emotions that they stand for.
Right. Now, I mean, we'll cut on the horseshit. What is a symbol? A symbol is a picture, right?
Yeah.
It's a picture. Now, I could, by giving you a picture of a rare, white mangrove, which I don't know if you've ever even seen a white mangrove, because you've lived in Utah, you've lived in Texas. I don't know where else you've lived, but I doubt either of those places grow mangroves. So
yeah, I highly doubt that as well. I mean, both Utah and Texas are deserts, so.
Right. So I could send you a picture of a white mangrove, and you could know exactly what I'm talking about. You could become familiar with the different aspects of it and become familiar with its different traits just through that picture. And then symbols work that way. Words are supposed to work that way. It really pisses me off when people try to act like words are as pliable as what they would like them to be. It just sounds ignorant and arrogant all at the same time.
Yeah, pretty much. I think people are just lazy bastards, and they want to use whatever word seems handy at the time because they just don't want to put the effort into looking it up. It's not even hard to look shit up either.
No, with the invention of dictionary.com, shit.
I mean, Webster's online, too.
Fuck Webster's. I like dictionary.com. The reason I like dictionary.com is, number one, the loading time is like half Webster's. And number two, it gives you, the word etymology. It gives you the World English Dictionary definition. I just personally feel that the website itself is better produced and that the definitions are more accurate to the way that I've come to describe them. Again, like I said, when I myself begin to talk about a word, I think about the other ways in which that word has happened to be used. I mean, like the word spirit. People want to talk about spirit like it's some, invisible ghost that goes inside your body.
But you kind of spirit taught that itself, in a literal spiritual sense, like Christianity kind of teaches you that kind of bullshit. But anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, well, if you have the Christian spirit, that means that you you are invigorated or passionate about Christianity. That is what spirit is. I mean, spirit itself is about an invigoration. It's an inoculation. You know,
Right. That definition makes more sense to me than some ethereal entity that is also a part of you. You know, it's kind of funny. I remember you actually wrote a post about this on Sin, and I remember Dan was like, "Now that's some strong mimetic voodoo sauce." If you remember
right
that.
It's been a while, but I deal with it often. When we talk about the word possession, oftentimes, I mean, people want a picture, something straight out of The Exorcist of Emily Rose or the movie Poltergeist. But what we end up slamming into instead is the idea of something being held on to or something being seized and kept close. When something is possessed, it's locked down, it's held on to, and it doesn't matter what direction you then use the word. When you're using the word possession in different aspects, it still has that same alternate feel.
Yeah. It's kind of interesting. Tying this to the LHP and the occult and whatever, you get this idea that, like, words like spirit and possession, you know, they, on an exoteric level, they might mean, like you were saying, the exorcist thing for possession and an ethereal being for spirit. But really, I could be wrong, but I think a lot of mystical words that are used, that, yeah, most people have this exoteric idea of what they mean. And, you know, so they might say, oh, well, you know, I think that's bullshit. But really, there is something that makes more sense. There's something more real about those words that people aren't really looking at because they aren't using the word properly.
Precisely. And that actually, you know, kind of wraps us right around to a fourth way idea. I mean, one of the most notable things about Gurdjieff's little cult is that language was utilized in a very specific, very direct way. And it was done so to convey an exact meaning, one that anybody could find. You didn't need to have some, green goop goblin motherfucker to tell you, you know, eat chicken wings and horse fat and pray to Cthulhu six times a day. You could look and fucking find it. So, and I know I'm on a little bit of a tangent here, but the point is that it's a very fourth way thing. It's the idea of the fourth way in itself comes about knowing things as they really are. That is the entire purpose of the work. In its full, if you could boil it down to its most simple characteristic and what it attempts to convey, is to know things as they are in themselves, yourself included.
Well, having that kind of mastery could give you quite a bit of power. I mean, when it comes to connecting with people and persuading people a certain way, if you know how things really are and you can communicate that, even if you are using language that seems silly on the surface, like the words we were talking about before, you still can create that connection with people and communicate certain ideas and have influence on them.
I would actually propose that language in itself is more magical than we give it credit for, that certain words said certain ways invoke certain feelings in everybody. And if you know how to use your language, you can create magical events. And I mean magical in a sense that would seem supernatural, but it's not. Or if it is supernatural, it's certainly not supernatural in some wacky,
Let me put a spin on this.
What's that?
Let me put a little spin on this with the power of language. you think about computers also use language, and imagine the kind of things computers can do now just based on language manipulation and using logic. It's kind of crazy.
There is a question being posed in the chat room right now that I kind of want to touch here.
Go for it.
Daryl is asking, he's talking about if you're trying to find what a thing really is, if you're trying to get at its essence, how do you remove the, at least according to the fourth way, how do you remove the misconceptions that are there? And this is actually definitely covered. And when we talk about the idea of self-remembering, when we talk about self-observation and self-remembering in the fourth way, this is what we're doing. The concept of this is to remove yourself in third-person light to be able to see yourself interacting with the thing, whatever that thing is, and seeing what is actually happening there. It's through observation, it's through taking the time to understand every aspect or characteristic of something, and it is when you come to respect something. So I think that that's interesting, because by developing respect for things, you actually are putting them through the quote-unquote fire, as Daryl likes to call it.
That makes sense. Yeah, I actually have a really hard time. Like, I guess I have a hard time following chat right now, as well as talking to you on here.
Tonight
I might trash, so.
Definitely, man. Drink up that PBR and... let's keep this thing rolling. We've got 30 minutes of pulling smart shit out of our ass, sounding all intelligent. So, it's a good day for everything. Man, I sometimes wonder, and you guys have got to let me know if I ever get to this point, but do you remember Conspiracy Brother in that movie, Undercover Brother?
Conspiracy Brother?
Yes.
I remember the movie, but I'm trying to remember which one is Conspiracy. Oh, is that the, no, which one is that? Is it the guy that Chris Rock plays?
No. Conspiracy Brother in that movie, if I remember correctly, is the dude from What's Happening. He's the guy who plays it.
I don't remember. But anyway, what about it?
Dave Chappelle or whatever.
Oh, it's Dave Chappelle, sir. Not Chris Rock. Dave Chappelle, I should have known that.
Right on.
See, that guy's hilarious. So, but anyway.
Anyway, what was I getting with that? If I get to this point where I start to, because there's a cliche about the, the black guys who get all philosophical and use all kinds of big words, but they're not really saying anything at all. If I ever get to that point, you guys have to let me know. If it starts to sound like I'm just using big words to sound smart and it doesn't make any fucking sense at all, just hold up that card, just call me the Conspiracy Brother at that point and we'll be good.
No, I don't think you're a pseudo-intellectual beast. Not yet. Maybe when you get old. Once you're like 60, you'll probably, your brain will melt and you'll only have this lexicon of terminology that spews out of your mouth.
Right on. Well, hopefully at that point I've shed this fuck you, Sean. for those of you who for those of you who aren't here in chat watching the chat room, I guess I can say that Sean's saying I'm pretty much already there. I'm just a light version of it.
What's that motherfucker's name that was on the forums a while ago? Calliope was saying you had too much acid.
Oh, I've had too much acid?
Remember that? I think Calliope said that you had too much acid and that you were a pseudo-intellectual.
Oh, yeah. I didn't think that they were talking to me directly, because if that was the case, they would have been sadly mistaken.
Well, we are mistaken, but it has been alleged.
Right on.
Conspiracy brother.
So, with all things being done, I'm not going to sort of stroke my ego on this whole thing, but we touched on a bit of a language, and it's funny because it's such an important thing, and not just in the fourth way, but in human existence all by itself. When you can really understand what people are saying, and by this I mean in a correct, clear context, that it really gets, I don't know, amusing to see some of these people and them try to play themselves up. The pseudo-intellectuals, they do use those big words, and it becomes obvious that they don't know what they're talking about because you have an understanding of what you're actually talking about.
I think salespeople are like that a lot, at least like with the kind of sales. I mean, you still see this same kind of shit today, but not as much, but back in the heyday of advertising on radio and TV, you got a lot of big flashy things where and you still see today, and that's when you see like a commercial, you're like, whatever, that's completely bullshit, that's not real, because they're not really speaking the language of the people who are watching the shit, if you know what you know what I mean.
Yeah, another thing I kind of want to point out is that oftentimes people, when they're talking about different things and trying to connect some kind of heritage, they don't want to put themselves into the time frame that it was being discussed as well, to understand the influences around those words too.
Reminds me of Kun. If that's how you say his name, the guy who talked about postmodern thinking, and he's the guy who coined the term paradigm shift. One of the things he talked about was when you're trying to study science and the history of, or I guess anything like that, you have to take into account the way people thought about their language back then, because we might look back and say, well, that's, based on our own new definitions of shit, and say, well, that's fucking retarded. But you have to think, you got to step into their shoes and see what they really meant. And to do that, you kind of have to learn about their culture. And it's really hard to get the idiosyncrasies of how these people use these words and what they mean by them.
Right on. Right on. And I mean, that's absolutely correct. This is one of the things that, as I was actually doing my research on considering, because of what he said, that it really could only mean one thing, I went to the dictionary, of course, and I went and I looked at the definitions of it. And then I went to the little word history part, the word origin of that. I can never say that word.
Etymology?
Etymology, yeah. If I'm saying it, I'm usually fucking it up, but if I'm typing it, it's no problem. It's kind of funny in that way, but...
Yeah, I'm a much better typist.
What was interesting about the word consider is that it was literally translated to mean to observe the stars. Literally.
Observe the stars?
Yes.
Interesting.
Now, when you think about it in that aspect, you think about it, what it means in the fourth way aspect, they're talking about observing particular qualities of things and to consider something like respect, you have to observe those qualities. And once you understand those qualities, you can decide if you have it or not.
Whether you have empathy. Or maybe going too far. Whether you have empathy for it, or maybe I'm going too far with that.
No, I don't think you're going too far with that. I honestly think because of the way that language works, anything plays in there to convey an idea, and all of these ideas are relative to whatever it is that you're talking about. Even if you talk about something in the wrong way, just talking about it gives some valuable information up, you know. So even if we're talking about, I don't know, the Orion constellation, and I'm saying, you know, that doesn't look like an arrow, but a penis. And that doesn't look like a bow that he's holding in his hand, but a dude's leg. You know, we're still talking about the overall shape of it. We're still talking about the arrangement that's in front of us, and we're still spending a particular time coming to understand and familiarizing ourselves with what it is that we're looking at.
Huh, I see.
Yeah, no idea is a bad idea. There are some ideas that are silly, some ideas that are futile, and there's some ideas that are pointless. But no idea is a bad idea, unless.
Well, what would that mean anyway? What would that mean? Bad idea. Well, I guess you could say a bad idea if something harms you, but action would create the harm, not the idea itself.
Right. I mean, the bad in itself it means undesirable or something along those lines. I mean, when we're really thinking about something that's bad or bad for us, it's undesirable, but that doesn't mean that it's, it can do us harm, but that doesn't ultimately mean that it's, you know, wicked and horrible and rotten to its core. I mean, we as self-described Satanists, left-hand path walkers, and Sorry, I got to bust his balls a little bit. We all get that things that are frequently looked upon as undesirable are sometimes the sweetest berries. So.
No, it's not. Okay, Jerry says it's a bad idea if evidence has already proven the idea incorrect, yet individual maintains the idea. It's not bad, it's just incorrect. Bad and incorrect aren't the same thing.
No, not even close. The word bad in itself, I often wonder if it's not one we shouldn't throw away. You know? We talk about fruit, okay, and when it's become too ripe and call it bad. Well, it's not bad, it's just not desirable for us to eat any longer.
Well, some people, anyway.
Yeah, we wouldn't have penicillin if it wasn't for bad, you know?
Yeah, bad and good are quite relative. As they say in the old cliche, is that one man's junk is another man's treasure.
That's exactly it. So, anyway, if you interrogationists out there, you want to consider things good or bad, feel free. But just remember, it's just undesirable.
That's a bad idea. No, I'm just kidding.
20 minutes left in this show, and I'm wondering if we could finally get into the main topic tonight, frog legs.
What?
Frog legs.
Oh, frog legs.
Main topic.
I don't really know much about frog legs.
No? I noticed their web.
Well, I know how to cook a frog. I've never actually cooked a frog, but I know how to cook a frog. At least as far as they tell you in Sunday school. They say to cook a frog, you got a pot of water, you put the frog in the cold water, and you turn up the heat just a little bit, so it makes it kind of nice and warm, so the frog is just like, hey, this is kind of nice. And you slowly turn it up, so the frog doesn't know that it's too hot, because it's so gradual that he's comfortable. And eventually you cook the frog to death. I don't know if that's true or not, but that's what they tell you in Sunday school, and they compare that to the way the devil pulls you into his schemes, little by little.
Right. Well, you know, I'm just awful like that. I do that to lobsters, too. It's just not just frogs and people, but...
Lobsters. The lobsters, delicious.
Yeah. So, just saying.
It is true that you can corrupt a person that way, though, slowly. By slowly turning up the heat.
Yeah.
I've done that before. It's a good feeling.
And my ex-girlfriend, actually, she used to try to do that in the hot tub every time we were in there.
What, turn up the heat? Or corrupt you?
Yeah. Oh, man, she'd wait until I wasn't looking, reach over and knock it up 3 or 4 more degrees.
I'm trying
to figure out why it is. What? No, well, she was in there too, so I'm not really sure. It's like suicide cannibalism? I don't know.
I'm not quite sure I understand that. You'll have to ask the Amazing Atheist if that's what something people do, because he's the guy that's into cannibalism.
Right on. So... Alright, we had a couple good suggestions tonight about what to talk about. We've got a little bit of time left, and I'm not quite high enough yet to want to give up. So if somebody else would,
going strong, man.
What's that?
I said I'm still going strong. I'm on my fourth beer.
Four of them bad boys.
Yep.
Here we go.
Within less than an hour.
All right, so Lehigh will be topless, naked, and dancing by the time he hits Sin Chat tonight.
No, I don't know if I want to do that again.
Right on.
I'm
just kind of curious. I mean, go ahead.
What are you curious about?
You say what you got to say. I'll hold mine.
I forgot.
Fucker. I was kind of curious as to how the chat room has been since it merged with the 600 Club. I haven't been around that much. So I haven't been able to get in there and check it out, but I mean, is it a bit busier or about the same?
They get a good amount of people as usual. You'll see different people there than usual is the thing. You get people from 600 Club. I don't go in there very often. Also, it's password protected. I don't know if you have the password or not.
Yeah, I do. Unless they changed it, but...
Who knows? I don't know what they gave you.
Right. But anyway, yeah, I haven't been able to get there. I mean, my laptop took a shit. And for me to go into chat and use the webcam, I got to use the big computer, which the monitor's 37 inches, and there's just not really any place to hang the webcam from.
Yikes.
So, yeah. We typically tend to use that as the entertainment machine most of the time. It's more of our media center than it is actually doing too much of the internet thing. I love those quad core processors, man. They handle shit quick.
The what?
The Phenium quad core processors.
Oh, okay. The quad cores.
Mm-hmm.
You got a Pentium quad core?
Phenium. Phenium.
Yeah,
it's actually Phenium too. Yeah.
When did they come out with quads?
It's a Phenium 2 quad-core processor, man. I bought it like a year and a half ago. New motherboard and stuff, upgraded the memory. I mean, that computer's mean.
That sounds pretty good. Yeah, my brother has my brother Danny has this computer that has 8 cores in it, and it's AMD. I think it's 8. Yeah, I think it's got 8. It's an 8-core processor. And each of the cores, he says, could be used, like, each of them could be 2 cores. Like, you can clock them to be double, which is just crazy.
Yeah, that is crazy. I mean, but that's when I get ready, because sometime in the future I'm going to build my my dream graphics computer. I do, as you know, I do... you know, like Photoshop and graphic designs. In the past, I used to do like movie editing and Flash playing, and playing around making Flash movies and stuff. And what I found was that I needed a lot more resources than what I had available at that time. So When I do finally get the money up, I plan to run a couple of different motherboards and a few different monitors and a few different processors.
I want to set up a server on a T1 line.
Right on. Well, T1 is not all it's cracked up to be, man.
Hmm?
So T1 is not all it's cracked up to be.
Well, what's better than T1?
Fiber optic. That's what I think.
Oh, yeah, that's right. But I thought... Well, whatever. Like, well, my point is I would want the best connection possible.
All right. I understand. I mean, and I honestly was convinced that T1 was the best you could get until we got it at work at Phantom Fireworks, and that thing was... slow as shit.
So I remember when I lived in Utah, the city, I think it was in Utah County, they had this, they were using taxpayer dollars to build a fiber optic network. And for some reason it failed. I don't know why. I mean, they got... But I don't know if the fiber optics network they set up was better than T1. I know it was really fucking awesome, but for some reason they couldn't afford to operate it.
Right on. Verizon has fiber optic here, and even though it's not a true fiber optic, it's fucking lightning quick, man.
See, I'm using Time Warner, but they don't claim to have fiber optic. I know that Comcast has claimed that before when I lived in Utah. But I don't know if it was true fiber optic. Yeah, fiber optic is supposed to be badass. Excuse me.
But anyway, So, yeah, that was all about fucking getting into the Sim Chat, what a pain in the ass it is, because the big computer is just so oversized. Nah,
wait, how
Darryl
big is the screen?
Asking. It's a 37-inch.
37-inch monitor. That's pretty fucking big, dude.
Yeah.
What do you need 37 inches for?
Well, to get down to the quarter pixels, man, the smaller pixels. I mean, to truly be able to really do some masterful Photoshop work, or if you're doing digital editing in a film or whatever, and you want to put in, you know, certain adjustments in the scene or whatever, you need to be able to get down to the bare pixel and bring that pixel up to the size where you can. Right, so that's why I have it.
Is it possible to edit only a portion of a pixel?
Yeah, it is if you zoom down to it enough and you use your tool correctly.
Because whenever I use Photoshop, I can get down to the pixels, and I used to have this problem where when I would click on the pixel, it would make 4 pixels colored in. But I figured out how to do just one. But I couldn't zoom down further than a pixel. I mean, I could see individual pixels, but I couldn't zoom down further than that. There's a way to go into more detail than
that? Well, it's all based, as far as I understand, I'm not a computer guru or anything, but as far as I understand, it goes on your video card's ability. All the drivers and stuff for your video cards and your monitors.
So you get better equipment and you can go further down.
Right.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Now, I'm actually not gotten too much into Photoshop over the past couple of years. When I normally do Photoshop a picture or whatever, it's on my laptop because I'm lazy and don't feel like fucking going over and transferring all my files and everything. I use my laptop for everything. So when I work on it, you know, all my stuff's all set up and everything. Like this other computer, Nikki uses it for entertainment mostly, so.
So that porn she watches, huh?
Right on. Right on.
The lesbian porn.
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding. I don't know. I don't really know much about Nikki.
Yeah. But, Yeah, 7 minutes in the show. I did want to make mention that this is going to be the permanent time slot for Primus Mano or Primus Mano.
I like this time slot better.
Yeah, I think this works out better, too. I don't have to, in the middle of my hanging out with my kids stop. And also, by the time we get here, I'm mellowed out for the night, and I've spent a little time writing or whatever. I mean, I know not much of my stuff surfaces on the internet at this point, but I write literally every day. So when I do finally put some manifesto out, it's probably going to be cumbersome in size, so 800-900 pages. I haven't quite figured out. I mean, a lot of the stuff that I've started, I intend to finish and include in whatever I do release. I've got 3 different book projects going.
God damn.
So,
are you blogging any of this stuff?
What's that?
Are you blogging any of it?
Am I blogging any of it? Well, I have started a bunch of them in my Eminent Mind. But most of it sets in my Google Docs accounts. I've got, there's 5 different emails, and each one has probably a couple hundred different essays that I've started up, and for one reason or another moved away from it or just taken a break from it and figured I'd come back to it. But they all kind of wrap around to my overall philosophy. I don't know, I've been looking for that linchpin in everything that I'm doing to make it feel more novel. I mean, the ideas themselves are all solid, but you got to give it a hook, you know, otherwise it's just another
person. You need to give it value that people, you need to give it perceived value so that it really sets it apart. It just doesn't get lost in the sea of same.
Right on. I mean, I just, I've been working for a very long time on the Insidious Way, and I just don't know if I've conveyed everything to the absolute, I don't know, grandness that I imagine as I'm typing away at these things. And I think that's probably why I continue to define and over-define and define and over-define and redefine and over-redefine.
I still think you should take some of the stuff that you haven't put out there and blog, you know, put it in blogs. And honestly, I know that you have a platform within the LHP community, but maybe if you expand it a little bit and put it out in other areas, maybe you could get some unique feedback to help you find what you're looking for as far as that linchpin is concerned.
Right. Well, the thing that I often run into, man, is there are few who do more than give a complimentary nod. And that's where the difficulty comes.
That there's few more than who just say, "Hey, nice shirt."
Yeah. It's
you want to engage people is what you want.
I want to challenge people. I want people to try.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. You want to engage people. You want to make something happen as far as dialogue goes. That's basically what it amounts to, is creating dialogue with people who give a shit about the topic.
I wish to inspire more so than even engage.
Well, you can't really engage people very well without inspiring them, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Well, I guess you could engage somebody when you're not inspiring them, but I guess that is possible. I guess pissing people off is considered engaging them. But at any rate, I think we understand each other on that.
Yeah, I mean, I get chased around by a crowd of people who are constantly trying to engage me. And what I find is engagement, more times than not, somebody who just thinks they have, you know, some kind of axe to bury. And I mean, that's not really what I'm even setting out for. I'm not setting out to even give someone else their peace. I'm setting out to inspire them to reach to a higher level mentally.
I think one way to do that, let me go back to the example I was telling you. Remember I was explaining about advertising and how it has to change with the times. Basically, what advertising was before was people pushing ideas onto other people. And, you know, they have a lot of sparkle and jazz, whatever. But now what you got to do, instead of pushing shit on people, you're pulling. So when you're trying to inspire people, you have to look for those people who are already on the path towards an inspiration. They haven't reached the inspiration that you wish to give them, but you've helped pull them towards that goal, if you know what I mean. I know this is, like, highly abstract, but I hope you understand what I'm getting at.
I do, and unfortunately, we're out of time, so maybe we'll pick up next week on this, and maybe we'll be on something different.
Matt, either way?
Either way.
It was good.
With that, yeah, man, have a good evening, and I'll probably go hang out and sim chat for a little bit, but like I said, I'm not going through the trouble of hooking up the webcam, so.
All right, sounds good. Have a good one, man.
Yeah, you too, man.